usually I do people's exams while they're active and then they retire and I don't see them again. And it's an opportunity for me to learn about how people do post-retirement, both emotionally and physically. I get to now see, you know, outcomes further out that can inform me of how to better take care of people while they're still active.
Hey, Seattle firefighters, welcome to Listen Up L27. We are putting firefighter health front and center even after you hang up your gear. Today, we're talking about the Retiree Group Visit, or RGV, a pilot program designed specifically for retired Seattle firefighters to stay connected, check in on their health, and keep taking care of their body and mind that carried them through decades of service. I'm joined today by three great voices who've been a part of making this program a success. First, Dr. Marcy Hamrick, medical director at the Station 2 Clinic. You know her as the physician who's been helping active members navigate everything from annual exams to long-term care. Now she's working to bring that same thoughtful care to our retired members. And we're also lucky to be joined by two participants from the pilot program, Frank Brennan and Tim O'Mahony, both longtime Seattle firefighters and now proud retirees. They've experienced the RGB firsthand and are here to share what it was like, why it matters, and why it's meant to reconnect with fellow firefighters in a whole new way. Let's get into it. First of all, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
Frank, let's start with you. Tell me a little bit about your experience in the fire service and how many years you were with Seattle.
About 30 years. I retired in April of 21, so I've been retired about 4 years now. Most of my career was spent at Station 14, what is now Rescue 1, the last 20 of those as the officer on D shift. And that's kind of the snapshot.
I, too, worked for the fire department for about 30 years. Started in 1990, and I retired in June of 2020, right in the start of COVID, managed to get out. I spent the majority of my career driving Engine 29 in the Admiral District of West Seattle.
Well, that sort of sets up the great many years of experience here. And now I want to get into a little bit about talking about what the program actually is. And I'm going to start with Dr. Hamrick. Dr. Hammer, can you tell me about how this program first came about? Maybe what you were seeing or hearing that made you want to create a program for retirees?
Yeah, a lot of firefighters who I had been seeing for annual firefighter exams were telling me that when they retired, they were super bummed out that they were no longer able to get the kind of customized, occupational-centered care that they'd been getting here at Station 2 Clinic. And it sort of planted the seed of the thought that retirees need to continue to have occupational-centered care because of all the exposures they had throughout their careers. And, you know, heart disease, cancer, those risks, unfortunately, just continue to increase as people age. So people, just because they stop working, doesn't mean that those risks go down. And community medical providers don't necessarily know about those risks and what screening tests are important for retired firefighters to have. And I wanted to have a program that helped firefighters continue to get excellent care.
So when most people associate clinic visits with individual checkups, what makes this model different? What are the benefits of doing it together?
You know, one of the things that I had heard through the grapevine is that when people retired, they sometimes feel isolated. They no longer have their firefighter family around them every day. And I not only wanted to provide continued medical care for retirees, but I also saw the social need that some may have to see each other and have a reunion of sorts. So with both of those ideas in mind, I had the idea of developing a group visit where we could, you know, check the boxes of making sure that people were getting the medical care that they needed, but also giving that opportunity for engagement in fire service and seeing other people to reconnect with.
You've been through the program. What was your impression as someone who's gone through it?
Well, I think the entire trust was really excited, but of course I was most excited. It was something that we had been talking about as trustees. We probably started talking about retiree visits maybe around 2015 or 2016, something like that. It was before I retired. And we were really excited about it, for sure. But it ended up being so much more than what I think I had envisioned, and I'm guessing what most of the trustees had envisioned. The retiree visit was really a lot more than just an AFME.
And Frank, you've been through the program. What was your impression as someone who's gone through it?
Well, I was pleasantly surprised by the format. I had expected something much closer to my prior visits with Dr. Hamrick. And really, when they put us all in the room together, I thought maybe I'd stumbled into an intervention or something. I wasn't sure exactly what was going on. And initially, I thought it was unintentional that perhaps they were just keeping us all waiting together, you know, as they worked through the various elements of the physical exam. But then, as the picture developed, I realized it was a very deliberate mechanism to put us in, in orbit together, right, in community together in that room. And it ended up being very, very much an effective, almost peer support group, kind of an ad hoc peer support group, as useful as the information was. And, from the clinical side of it, the ability to kind of share some experiences and tools and tricks that people have been using to navigate retirement in a kind of informal, kind of very organic way was very helpful, I thought.
And just so we're clear, this is really not meant to replace your primary care provider, correct?
No. In fact, one of the topics that we chose to talk about in the group was how to establish care with a primary care provider, because we are there to make the recommendations and let people know what screenings they need, perhaps differently or above and beyond what their community provider may recommend. But we still absolutely want people to have a primary care provider in the community for when they get sick, when they get hurt, to follow up on any abnormal findings that we may have discovered. So we are not there to replace, but to augment their usual care.
That's really the difference, because we've been talking a little bit about what the AFME was, where you really got the health screenings and the assessments in the singular version, but now you have a group that you're talking to about what they should be looking for from their primary care provider now. So of the unexpected benefits, let's talk about social connections. So Frank or Tim, how's that been working?
I was in the second group. Tim was in the first, yes.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I hadn't even considered what it would be like to go back into a room with a bunch of firefighters that I worked with for 30 plus years, or 30 years at least, and visit with them about their experiences in this new life that we have after retiring, which is really what it is. It's like you have to go reinvent yourself. And it was so interesting to sit down and start talking to people and find out the different places that they were at and how some people were doing fabulous and some people weren't doing as well. And that prompted me then to really keep in touch with a few people that I kind of had the impression maybe weren't doing as well as I was hoping they were. One thing I find that's really interesting in this whole healthcare trust thing that I've been involved with for a while is that my experience is not Frank's experience. And it's taken me a while to really open my mind to that just because I'm having the time of my life in retirement, maybe other members aren't. And it's really interesting to see that firsthand and to make new connections or reconnect with people that I haven't talked to for a while and find out that maybe they're not doing as well as I think I'm doing. So that whole part of this process was a real eye-opener for me.
And that sort of leads me into another question then for Dr. Hamrick. Do you think that in the future there might be some mental health benefits that you're going to bring into this group?
Yeah, in fact, we have a new mental health program as of March, just a couple months ago, we have two mental health providers who have joined our team here at Station 2 Clinic, and we are going to have both of them involved in retiree days going forward. And in addition, the retirees on their feedback forms expressed some desire to have some continued ongoing connection in the form of a virtual support group. And we're going to have the mental health providers involved in that to help facilitate those groups. So that is something that we are going to be working on going forward, is quarterly having an opportunity for all the retirees who have participated in the group visit here be invited for that virtual session.
It sounds like a great opportunity for people. Have you guys offered this out to other retirees that you know? I mean, have you been telling them about the group visits in terms of people that you know who are in retirement?
Yeah, it was such a great experience. I would urge any retiree to take part in it. There's nothing but positive. There was no negative involved. It was a really great experience.
So, Frank, let me ask you, for someone listening who might feel hesitant, maybe they haven't been to a clinic in a while, what would you say to encourage them to give it a try?
I would say that, to give it a try, that it's not what you would expect, right? I think that it is very much, its mechanism is designed to kind of to hit your entire, it's a holistic experience, right? Like not to get too soft around the edges, but there certainly is the clinical component of it where, you know, you definitely want contact with the physician to kind of check in on those areas that, you know, from the physical part of our career, we're more sensitive to, or more, I suppose, prone to, where, because these days physicians, you know, primary care providers get about 15 minutes with you, you know, and very much checking the boxes, barely laying hands on patients these days. And so to come into this environment and have someone who's very experienced and keyed in to those specific things to look for is a very strong selling point. But this other component of like this connection between your mental, physical, psychological health and how community and society, how that impacts your overall health and well-being is a very real part of it. And I think, well, it may not necessarily launch, you might not come out of there with 16 new relationships. You certainly may come out with a better understanding of some of your fellow retirees, what they're going through, and some resonance maybe with one or two people in the room where you can sustain a more protracted relationship. I think relationships are very much, and communities are very much about proximity. And, you know, our time in the firehouse, we're forced into proximity with each other. And, you know, that's one of the things that changes when you retire, is that loss of proximity and that physical, just being in the same physical space. And so this is a great opportunity to kind of revisit that. And I think that if you were hesitant about it and you missed the days of coffee in the beanery after dinner or first thing in the morning, whenever your time was to spend time with people in the firehouse and that kind of community, this provides that opportunity at least one day a year. I know that the intent is to expand it in many different ways, but I think it has benefits that that you might not anticipate.
So let's talk a little bit about eligibility. Tim, what do you need to be eligible for this program?
Well, first, you need to win the game and retire. And then once you've done that, you remain as a retiree active with the union. So you do have to remain as a union member. And then that gives you that annual eligibility that when the group visits are offered, you can sign up for one of the open spots. It's pretty simple.
Is there anything else anybody would like to add to this conversation today?
I just think this really keys into, fits very well with the trajectory that the fire department seems to be undertaking with taking people's mental health and their emotional health more seriously as a component of who they are as people. You know, we always spent the bulk of our careers, there wasn't even as much focus on our physical health, to be honest with you, our physical fitness to perform the job as there should have been. And so that's evolved quite a bit. But this takes us to the next step. And I think this connection, you know, Dr. Hamrick's insight about how we're connected, this mind-body continuum or whatever you want to call it, there's so many people retiring now that are suffering real physical effects, not necessarily as a result of exposure to contaminants, but just exposure to what your body goes through being in this career, the state of vigilance, the state of, you know, your body being switched on for 30 years and then moving into retirement. There are consequences to that. And so there are people, a lot of retirees I talk to, this seems to be this common thread of, like, you know, AFib and cardio, and, you know, people going through ablations and now we're finding this is connected to cortisol levels, which are connected to your emotional health. And so there's all these threads, I think, that are connected. And so one of the things I think, one of the benefits to having retirees come in is it informs the medical community here, like how can we implement some of these mechanisms so that people can be healthier through approach their lifestyles healthier through the length of their career. And the work that Kristen's doing with, you know, as a behavioral health specialist and giving people tools to better manage their emotional and psychological responses, in addition to linking physical activity to, like, your holistic health, those are all things that are going to pay benefits when you retire. And, you know, this last piece I think that Tim mentioned, which I think is really important, is, you know, winning the game. It's kind of funny. You get this job that you're constantly, it's reinforced how lucky you are to have this job and how wonderful it is until the day you retire. And then they tell you how lucky you are to retire. And you're like, well, wait a minute. You just, yesterday you told me how wonderful it was to be working. And now you're kicking me out the door, telling me I should be happy about it. And I think most people navigate that fine. Most of us, I think, do really well with that transition. It takes a little time, but some folks struggle more than others. And, you know, people's identity and so much of who they are is wrapped up in this job. And we don't provide good tools for people to make those transitions. And we just expect them to be overjoyed to retire after telling them they should be overjoyed about having their career. So I do think this is a great tool to kind of not only provide that opportunity for the people that are participating, but to provide some insight for the folks that are providing guidance and care through the body of people's careers. So I really think it's a wonderful step. I'm really grateful to the Trust and Dr. Hamrick for having the vision over the long haul to implement this, because I think it's really going to benefit people in the long run.
Yeah. And as you know, as you were speaking, it makes me think that we have all these road to retirement steps. This seems to be like it should be one of the newest steps in the retirement program that we're trying to put forth to retirees to make sure that they know that there are all these things you need to do when you retire, but you also have this great program available to you. So that's the feeling in terms of what I've heard during this conversation.
Well, people focus on their finances and making sure they can pay for their medical insurance and whatnot. But I think what people think less about is, what is my sense of meaning and purpose every day when I get out of bed in the morning? And it's interesting for me also, you know, usually I do people's exams while they're active and then they retire and I don't see them again. And it's an opportunity for me to learn about how people do post-retirement, to your point, Frank, both emotionally and physically. I get to now see, you know, outcomes further out that can inform me of how to better take care of people while they're still active.
So Dr. Hamrick, let's talk about, if someone's listening, how they should go about signing up.
They can call Station 2 Clinic. First step is to make sure that you're an active member of the union. And you can just call Station 2 Clinic and say, hey, I'm an active member, I'd like to sign up. Through the union's email communications, I believe the dates of upcoming retiree days should be communicated. And then you just give us a call and we put you on the list. Right now, these two pilot projects included 16 people. And probably going forward, we'll have a similar number of people coming in on each day. We're going to focus doing those during less busy times here at Station 2 Clinic. So mostly in the fall and winter, we'll aim to do it about once a month. So keep your eyes peeled for communications about when those days will be.
And I think fall and winter here in the Pacific Northwest, it's a great time to reconnect with people. Those dark, gloomy days, you need some light, right? Well, thank you all for being here. This has been a great conversation, and I just appreciate everything that you guys are doing to improve the lives of firefighters as they leave the service. And thank you, Tim and Frank, for everything you've done for Seattle as well. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Listen Up Bell 27 is a Seattle Firefighter Healthcare Trust production. This podcast is produced by the Rhizome Collaborative. I'm your host, Jen Pennington, and until next time, stay safe and stay healthy.